You know what, Rafer?
What, Kristen?
This is one of those very, very special weekends that happen in moviegoers' lives every once in a great blue moon.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Because once in a very great while, a chick flick and a dude flick are released on the very same day, and that means that both of us get to be happy.
That's right, that's right.
Or at least I presume we both get to be happy. I'm making a lot of assumptions, actually, about you and about me and about movies.
That's right. We are working with some broad stereotypes here, but it's true. If you're the movie going audience, what are you going to go see? You're going to go see Mark Wahlberg packing a gun in Contraband, or are you going to see Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton wearing gospel gowns in Joyful Noise? I think it falls pretty clearly along gender lines there.
I know what you're going to see. I know you love that Latifah. but before we talk about why you love Latifah, let's introduce ourselves. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday. And this is Movie Date.
Let's talk about this chick flick and this dude flick. And I have a feeling I know which one you're leaning toward.
Well, I was certainly rooting for Contraband, obviously. You know, it's crime flick 101. It's Mark Wahlberg. He used to be a criminal, used to be a smuggler, along with Ben Foster, the guy from The Messenger, who's another actor that I like quite a bit. As one guy in the film says, "You guys used to be the Lennon and McCartney of smuggling." Great line. You know, of course,
I'm not laughing.
Yeah, I notice how you're not laughing at that. I guess only I thought that was funny. And you know, he's the guy who's gone straight, and now he's a family man. But because his wife's little brother has screwed something up, now Mark Wahlberg has to get back into the life and pull one last smuggling job to make good on a debt for his wife's little brother. And Giovanni Ribisi plays the villainous smuggler guy. And, you know, there you go. What more do you want? That's the plot. That's all you need to know. There's going to be a heist, some bullets, some flying, you know, flying cars, the whole lot.
You know, you said, what more do I want? I'll tell you what more I want.
Uh-oh. What?
I want some singing. I want some choir robes. I want some Latifah, and I want a whole lot of Dolly.
All right. Let's talk first about your thoughts on Contraband.
You know, the listeners couldn't hear me rolling my eyes.
I think they might. I think they could have heard you. I think they actually heard you rolling your eyes.
I really, really, really like Marky Mark.
I know you do.
There was only one point in this movie I want to note here that he did not have a shirt on, though.
Yeah, I know. And it's very early on.
Yeah, it is very early on.
I know.
And then
nothing
happens. He's got no shirt on, and then he goes to bed.
I know.
And the covers go over.
Yeah, he's lifting his shirt up in the trailer, but that is a tease. Ladies,
yes.
You don't really get to see that much more of Marky Mark's bod.
And I think that says it all about how I feel about this movie. No, mostly I was irritated. Let me just say,
yeah.
I'm not going to ruin anything by saying this.
Okay.
There were many, many, many points in the movie where I thought, things are just getting worse and worse and worse. Why don't you freaking call the cops?
Well,
call the cops. Your screw-up younger brother, that's Kate Beckinsale's younger brother,
right,
who's screwed up repeatedly. It's implied that, oh, no, he did it again.
Yeah, right, right.
He's always doing this kind of crap. Oh,
right.
No, he accidentally got caught with 15 pounds of cocaine again.
Right, right.
It's like, oh, come on, dude. Just, you know what? Put the loser in jail. Call the cops. Get the rest
he
of these losers
in jail.
He can't
do that. It's family, as he says repeatedly in the film. It's family.
Oh,
this is family. It's a family matter.
I don't want to ruin anything, but family doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot in this movie.
Yeah, okay. All right, I understand that. So coming from the guy's perspective, here's my take on Contraband. The problem with the movie is that there's really not that much actual action in it. There's a lot of
that is correct.
Moving around and trying to figure some things out and hiding giant stacks of counterfeit money inside a ship's hull.
Not a lot of explaining, just a lot of trying.
Yeah,
and
not a lot, right.
I didn't quite understand some of the stuff they were trying. It's like, okay, let's make some phone calls. And
well,
so they're making
yeah,
phone
right.
calls. I'm like, who are they calling and what's going on?
Right. Sometimes the cell phones work on the ship. Sometimes they don't. It's all a little – this. My problem with it is that, you know, I was originally, like I say, crime flick 101, I like that. I like a good, simple action thriller. But there does come a point where you want a little something more. You know, you always like to use the word jigsaw puzzle when you're talking about a crime thriller or a spy flick. You know, it's an intricate jigsaw puzzle. This is one of those jigsaw puzzles for like three and up. With
it
like five, yeah, five large pieces, and you can sort of, you can fit them together very quickly. That was kind of my problem with Contraband. And there's not a lot of action. The characters are pretty stock. You see a lot of stuff coming, and a lot of it's very corny. Of course, there's the crazy Panamanian drug dealer. Don't go see Gonzalo. That guy's crazy. Don't go in there, Marky Mark. He's crazy. You know, so they try
you have
to build
the very,
up
very very shaky drug dealer guy
Giovanni Ribisi,
and his only job is to shake.
Yeah.
I'm shaking, and I might hit right. you with this baseball bat.
That's right.
Don't make me mad.
Yeah, and he's taken on some kind of weird. It all takes place in Louisiana. Much of it takes place in Louisiana and in New Orleans, and I couldn't quite figure out what accent Giovanni Ribisi was trying to come up with. It sounds a little bit like a cat. You know, he's got this kind of yowl. Hey, man, don't, you know. And I was sort of like, I don't know what that accent is from. So, unfortunately, I was a little disappointed with Contraband.
I will say this, though.
Yes.
To the movie's benefit, I enjoyed it more the second half than the first half.
Mm.
The first half filled with frustration, anger,
mm-hmm.
boredom.
Okay.
And I think you knew how I felt.
Yeah,
you probably heard me exhaling very loudly.
I didn't even have to look at you during that screening to know how you were reacting. I heard you rolling your eyes, Kristen. I heard them.
Well, I have a feeling though that maybe you and I both felt a little differently about Joyful Noise.
I think we did.
Yes, we did. I knew it. This is the movie that we briefly mentioned in last week's podcast.
Yes.
About Queen Latifah's character, Dolly Parton's character. They're both kind of divas of the church choir.
Yes.
In this economically depressed area of, is it Alabama?
It's Georgia, I think.
Georgia, that's right, Georgia. And the church is very much a pillar of the community. The church choir is something the whole community celebrates. Year after year, they become finalists but never winners
yep.
in the regional sing-offs. And
the Joyful Noise sing-off brought to you by Tyson Deli.
Yes, that's correct.
Which I liked.
And we have our two choir divas.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, egos are going to clash.
Yes.
Even though they're singing in the name of God.
Yes.
Singing songs like Man in the Mirror.
Yes.
Which we know well from Michael Jackson's
yes.
songbook.
Yes.
And in all of this, in addition to the sing-off, there's this clash of egos. There's a love story.
There's a young love story.
There's also an older love story.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
There are all sorts of church politics.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of stuff, and it's all together in a perfect two-hour delightful package that made me laugh and cry. Yes,
okay.
That's right. I cried. And I sang.
And you sang.
I did all those things.
Okay.
And I cheered.
Perfect seems like a stretch to me. Perfect two-hour film. I'm not sure I would call it perfect. But
I would say if it's not perfect, it's 97% perfect.
Okay. Well, here's what I would say. I just want to say that I am a person who really hates American Idol and Glee and all manner of singing reality show / contest television that takes place around this kind of hideous, watered-down pop R&B soul style that has become so popular. I hate those shows. I hate what they've done to music. I hate what they've done to R&B and hip-hop and all of it. And so I was actually...
Did we mention that Rafer is 200 years old?
Yeah, it's really true. It's so true.
I don't like that singing on the television.
It's so true. I'm sorry. I have to admit it. And what I'm saying is I went into this film thinking this is really going to be like taking a cheese grater to my cheek this film is really going to just be torture. And while you know, it's basically, you know, drama, singing number, drama, singing number, drama, singing number. The singing numbers are fantastic. When the gospel is going, whether they're rehearsing or whatever it is they're doing, or they're actually in the finals, when you see a lot of the other gospel acts that they're competing against, those
are very surprising acts.
Yeah, right. And there's one very good surprise toward the end that we probably should not
not going to reveal.
We should not spill. But those singing numbers are absolutely electrifying and totally fun, and the film just completely comes to life whenever that's happening.
Admit it, Man in the Mirror made you a little bit
misty.
Oh,
Man in the Mirror was fantastic.
So freaking good.
It was so good. Fantastic. And the Sly Stone, Higher Ground medley. I mean, all of it really good. The Hallmark Channel dramatic moments with, you know, the mother-daughter stuff, the young love stuff, the Asperger's kid, the military stuff. Thank you for bringing up Jesse L. Martin as the military father who is estranged from his family. Yeah, all that stuff.
They never even let him sing either.
No, he never gets to sing, and he can sing, actually, right?
He's got a fantastic voice.
Yeah, he started out in Rent, I think.
Yeah, he did.
Chris Christopherson gets a little 2-minute.
Who cannot sing?
Chris Christopherson, come on. But, you know, he gets a little 2-minute cameo with Dolly. I will say Dolly Parton's plastic surgery, which they make fun of in the movie a few times, to her credit. I thought that was nice that she was able to step up and, you know, make a little fun of herself. But I did find the work that she's done to her face a little disconcerting. Did you not feel that?
I'm not going to say anything other than great things about Dolly, okay. And I don't think it's appropriate for you to either.
I'm sorry I brought it up, but they have been very public about that, and again, I think that's to their credit and to her credit. She does look a little strange to me in that movie.
I think it's fine for the character she's playing.
It is, and that in some ways it is, and it fits her character as kind of a dolled up Southern matriarch.
Yeah, and she's not playing some gal who just works at the IHOP. She's
right.
You know, for what she is, she's the richest lady in town.
Right, right, exactly. So there is that, but I have to say I will begrudgingly give you in the chick flick versus dude flick battle. My hat has to go to the chick flick.
Yes, yes, the chick flick wins this time.
It does. And really very easily. And here's the other thing I want to say. Although this film, I don't think they've done a whole lot of promotion for this. I have not seen a lot of posters, a lot of ads. I haven't gotten in my emails a lot of offers for interviews and junkets and that kind of thing. I don't feel like they're pushing this film very hard. But it strikes me as a hit. Like, this film strikes me as a movie that could really have legs. It's faith-based, but not in the sort of corny, awful way that most faith-based movies are.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's got the Glee/Idol factor going for it. And it's about gospel, which is the roots of all this Glee/Idol crapola in the first place. And it takes it back into that realm and makes it authentic again. And you remember what made that music so powerful and why people are still kind of borrowing from the energy of that music. I feel like the film could really have some legs.
I felt like it had major crossover potential, too, because we have two great gay icons here.
Yes,
we
right.
We have Latifah. We have Dolly.
Right.
We also have the gospel.
Uh-huh.
We also have very, very, very multicultural cast.
Yeah, yeah, very multicultural. Asian, black, white, yeah.
Yeah, and then we also just have... I just felt that there was both kind of modern pop culture and kind of old school pop culture appeal.
Very.
There were so many ways that this could hit people. That,
very.
I agree with you. I think this could be a huge hit. And as I said, if not 100%, then 97% perfect.
Okay. 97% still seems like a high estimate to me.
You're so nitpicky.
But I am begrudgingly giving the win to Joyful Noise.
So it's a good date?
I think it is a pretty good date.
And what do you mean is an awesome date? The best date? Let's sing.
Kristen.
Come on.
Why are you always trying to get me to sing?
On the other side of that glass, you know what you look like to me?
What?
That man in the mirror.